Well, it's good to be back with you here at UEF and to bring the Word of God to you this evening. We're so grateful for your prayers. Thank you, Grant, for praying so beautifully for Avril and I and for Living Hope. We really appreciate that, and thank you for your support and love as a church for the ministry of Living Hope. It's not often that a preacher receives a sermon in the early hours of the morning. But last Saturday morning, as I was sort of in a waking phase, I literally mean the core of this sermon came to me. And nothing that I found in a book, but something that God really just dropped into my spirit as I was half asleep and half awake. So, really different for me to have an experience like that. But as we get towards Christmas, I thought, let me focus on the Christmas story, but on the God of the Christmas story. And we're told about three names of the baby and three presents or gifts that he was given. So, let me ask you, what are the three names or titles given to him in the prophecies and dreams surrounding his birth? Come on, let's hear from you. Emmanuel, Jesus, and we had it read to us a little earlier. Where is the one who is? Born King. Born King. They're the three names that were revealed at the time. King, Emmanuel, and Jesus. But then the gifts. What were the three gifts that were brought by the wise men? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All those three names and those three gifts are saying the identical thing. They're absolutely saying the same thing. Literally, each name and each gift lines up perfectly. And that's what we're going to see this evening, how the names and the gifts were prophetic, were God-given, and lined up in a most amazing way. Jesus got a present for every name he had, so I guess some kids at this Christmas time would wish that they had five or six names to get their five or six presents, but that's an interesting practice. Three names and three gifts. So, Matthew 2, verse 11, which was read to us so beautifully. Thank you very much, Abigail, for that. Matthew 2, 11, on coming to the house, this was sometime later than the stable, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense. Some versions just have the word incense, but most have frankincense, and of myrrh. The gift of gold. A little earlier, they had asked in Matthew 2 verse 1 about him being born a king. The first title, born a king. Matthew 2 verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Born king. Now, what is the gift that they brought that went with that? Gold. Gold is a gift for a king. You'll remember when they came, here's the crazy store version of gold. So you can get it really cheap there. And there's no gold bar in here. But there's the gold gift. When the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon, she literally brought him tons of gold. And I mean tons, in terms of the weight of the gold she brought him. But the scriptures tell us that he already had loads of gold. I mean, Solomon didn't need any more gold, but why did Sheba bring gold? Because gold is a fitting gift for a king. A king's crown is gold, and I suppose diamonds and all the other things if you're a queen as well. Gold is a gift for a king. The other thing that they said, where is he born a king? You see, my friend, Jesus never became a king. He was always a king. Born a king. He wasn't a prince first and then became a king. One day Prince Charles or Prince William, if Charles skips it or whatever, will be king. But until then, they're just a prince. Not so with Jesus. He wasn't born a prince to one day later become a king. The king of all the earth, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, ruling over all, was born a king. That's how Mary gave birth to a king. And I want to tell you, the fact that Jesus is king indicates to me the truth of the sovereignty of God. And I love the truth of the sovereignty of God. It is an incredible comfort. It is an amazing thing to think that your life is firmly and absolutely in control, in the control of God. The Lord Almighty, He controls every moment of your life. God never says, oops, that was a mistake. Angels, why did you let that happen to John? That was a mess. It wasn't meant to happen. Nothing is out of His control. Nothing is beyond His control. Kingship is all about controlship. And Jesus has absolute control over your life. And whatever may come is never beyond His control. It's under His firm hand of control. Born a king. Born fully in control of your life and my life. But not only was he born a king, secondly, he was born God with us. Born God with us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, what was the second gift that the wise men gave? It was frankincense. And believe it or not, you can get frankincense at Long Beach Mall if you visit there. Never bought incense before, but there it is, frankincense. But here's the interesting thing. Frankincense is only ever offered to God and no one else. You've got to get this and understand this. The Old Testament was abundantly clear that frankincense could only be used in worship to God. Exodus 30, verse 37 tells us this. Do not make any of that incense. And if you read verses 31 onwards, you'll read about the fact that it is frankincense. With this formula for yourselves. Don't make it to make your room smell nice or whatever. Consider it holy to the Lord. Now, holy means separate, set apart for. Consider it set apart for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from these people. If anyone dares make frankincense, he is to be cut off from the nation. And when you go across to Leviticus, it talks about cutting off people. It literally talks about killing them. Literally, you know, wipe them out of the face of this earth. Frankincense was especially and only dedicated to God. And no one dare ever use frankincense for themselves in any way or any form. Now talk about a risky gift to give. I mean, here these magi, however many they were, come along and they give this gift that belongs only to God. What insight! What prophetic insight! These men saw Emmanuel. They saw God with us. They said, we're going to give the gift that belongs solely and utterly to God and His worship and God alone. This is God with us. The gift of frankincense spoke so clearly of God, Emmanuel, with us. You see, my friend, just as he never became king, he was born a king. He never became God. He was born God, fully God. It's hard to understand, but he was 100% God and 100% man packed into human body. Not 50% God and 50% man. 100% of God, all of God with us. Max Lucado puts it like this. It all happened in a most remarkable moment, a moment like none other. For that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became man. Divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent in one instant became flesh and blood. The one who was larger than the universe became a microscopic embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word became dependent on the nourishment of a young girl. God had come. Emmanuel. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl. Majesty. In the midst of the mundane. God over all. God who can intervene in your life. God who is able. God who can change your life. God who can change your circumstances. All knowing, all powerful, all wise. He is not God distant from you. 30 years ago or whatever, there was that song, "From a Distance, God is Watching Over You." That was a load of rubbish. God is right with you, not from a distance, right there, my friend. Remember the children of Israel when they escaped from Egypt. There was God with them, a pillar of fire at night, giving them light and removing the fear of the dark and of danger. And a permanent cloud, bringing them some shade in the day, in the heat of the moment in the desert. God with them, Emmanuel. The desert is always the heat of trying times. That is where God is present with you. God is with you in your desert. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Listen carefully. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. My friend, I don't know what your impossible desert is. Your situation that you're facing, that you feel, there's no way out of this. This is a mess, or this is a hopeless situation, or this is something that's just not coming right. It's just getting worse and worse. Our children, our circumstances, our finances, our future. Whatever your desert is, Whatever your impossible desert is, I know what mine is. But let me tell you, in that desert, you find Emmanuel. I am making a way in the desert. With you, as he was with his son for 40 days in the desert. And when the tempter comes to you to plant seeds of doubt and fear and accusation that God doesn't really care about you, then look right next to you. For there is Emmanuel with you in the desert. Emmanuel with you. One of the nomadic Kenyan desert tribes, the Rendili, were having Bible translators looking for a word to describe the Holy Spirit. And this story is very personal because I knew these translators, the Nochnagels, Nick and Lynn Nochnagel. They were with Wycliffe and they were working amongst the Rendili, who are a nomadic tribe in the desert. And they were talking to their language consultants, as they had got to know the Rendili language, about a word which would describe parakletos, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit is with you. And suddenly one of the linguistic sort of Rendili people says, you mean the one who falls down beside you? And they said, what do you mean? And this is what they said. You know, when we're moving from one place to the next in search of pasture, it gets excruciatingly hot. And our people fall down under the heat. They faint and finally fall. And immediately one falls, another one falls right next to him straight away and lies down on the ground next to him. And gently whispers into his ear. And gently puts his sweaty arm around him and says, it's okay, you can get up again. And he'll, with his other hand, will somehow give him a little bit of water and of that scarce resource, holding his arm over him. And gently coaxes them up, back onto their knees, lifting them with their arm, until they stand up and walk again. They never leave. The one who falls down beside you, my friend, you have Emmanuel. The one who falls down beside you when you fall. The one who falls down beside you when you think there is no way forward. Emmanuel. Christmas is a reminder that God was born and entered humanity, and no matter your situation, he says to you, my child, I am with you. Whether you are in the desert or on the mountaintop of joy, in that desert, I am with you with a stream of hope. You're not alone. I am with you. God, born with us. God, Emmanuel. God sunk himself into humanity. But thirdly and lastly tonight, born a Savior. Born a Savior. Matthew 1 verse 21, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Luke 2:11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Now, what is the gift that goes with this name? Well, there's only one left. And Ina Palmer sort of helped us with the closest thing that approaches myrrh. But you know what myrrh is? You can go home and Google it. You can Google it right now in the service for that matter. Myrrh is always a burial spice. Always an embalming burial spice. What a weird gift to give to a baby. We've got our little four-month-old grandson with us who's just come down from Kenya. And all he wants is a dummy. And I guess if they'd come with the equivalent of a dummy or a bunch of cloths that would have done as a nappy, that would have been helpful to Mary. But no! What an insult to give to a baby. Oh, Mary and Joseph, here's something for when your baby dies. I mean, let's get real. What a prophetic insight. These magi had. No wonder they were called wise men. Because whether they knew what is one of his names were, they somehow knew he was going to die a savior. Born a savior. Given the name Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus means. Jehovah, Yahweh is salvation. He will save his people from the sin. You see, my friend, he came as a savior to die for your sin. He came as a savior to die for your sin. They gave him myrrh as a gift associated with the name Savior. And again, just like he never became a king, he was born a king. He never became God. He was born God with us. So too, he never became a Savior when he got to the cross. He was born a Savior. In fact, the Bible says he was slain, what? Before the foundation of it, born a Savior. He was always going to be the Savior, and is always the one and only Savior. It can be that tonight you're sitting here, and you do not know the forgiveness of sins that Jesus, our Savior, offers. You can sit in church for 50 years and not have received the gift of forgiveness, knowing that Jesus died in your place. My friend, the good news is that God sent his Son to die as your substitute. Jesus took your punishment for your sin that you deserved by dying on the cross for you. The myrrh, knowing he was going to die and be buried for your sin, carrying your sin to the grave, breaking loose out of that, victorious. See, my friend, your sin is offensive to the holiness of God. But in his grace and mercy, Jesus provided salvation across the canyon of your sin. You can know complete forgiveness of sin because he was born a Savior. Prophetically, he was given a gift of myrrh. What a Christmas present you can get. Salvation. But just as Jesus was born and given gifts, so you too need to be born again. And you will get the gift of eternal life. You see, it's all about being born and all about gifts. You need to come to that point, my friend, when you're born again to receive the gift of eternal life. You know you're a sinner. Your thoughts, your actions. I don't need to convince anybody here. But simply ask you the question, are you absolutely sure? You have received this gift of forgiveness. He was born a Savior for you. Three names, three gifts. All saying the same. Born a king, go. Born God with us, frankincense. Born a Savior, the gift of myrrh, embalming spice. Everything you'll ever need, all in one. All you need in God alone. A God who is in charge. A God who is sovereign over your life. A God who knows what he's doing with your life. A God who is with you when you don't seem to believe He is sovereign in those moments. A God with you in every situation who offers you the gift of eternal life. Let's bow and pray together. I said it a moment ago, it's possible that you may be here tonight and you've never received the gift of eternal life. Never come to that point of understanding that Jesus died for your sin, or you knew that but you've never done anything about it. And tonight I'd like to pray for you, not by name, my friend. I hardly know most names here. But let me ask, are you absolutely sure tonight that at this Christmas time you have the gift of eternal life? And if you're not, you can just slip your hand up wherever you are. I want to pray for you and someone will talk to you afterwards. Anyone here saying, pray for me, John. I need to be sure I have this gift of eternal life. Lord, it's wonderful that everyone here believes they know the gift of the Savior. Lord, in our heads, we all know God with us. We all know your kingship. But so often we doubt you. So often we forget you. So often in life's pressures, we feel you've abandoned us. Lord, I pray the truth of the three names and the three gifts this Christmas would be a powerful reminder of the presence of God with us, controlling us, controlling life in every possible way. Bring words of comfort, words of hope, and words of life to those who need it tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.